1, 2, 1.
It's time for the Better Horses Radio Show. So let's saddle up and ride as we explore the Western way of life, horses and cows, family and friends, a relationship with the land, and a relationship with God. It's all here on Better Horses Radio. Now let's hit the trails with the Better Horses team.
And welcome to Better Horses Radio. I'm your host, Ed Adams.
And I'm Merle Arbo.
Hey, Merle, glad you could join us. I'm excited for this week's episode.
Oh, yeah. You know, you never know what you're going to get here, and this one is going to maybe surprise you.
You know, we're going to take you down to the Missouri State Fair in Sedalia, Missouri, and there's lots to go around. Now, this is really exciting because I don't think we put enough emphasis on state fair. You know, Merle, you and I are into horses, but the agricultural industry is really important in every state, and I encourage everybody to go to all your state fairs. As a matter of fact, in Missouri, the number one economic driver in the state of Missouri is the ag industry, pulling in $93.7 billion. And Merle, here's an interesting stat. Missouri ranks top 10 nationally in soybeans, rice, corn, chickens, turkeys, goats, hogs, peanuts, beef cows, number one in hay, by the way, in consumption, cotton, and you know that we are ranked 6 as the largest state for horses and ponies.
Missouri definitely has a very diverse agriculture industry, and so timber, I bet we're up there in timber also.
That's exactly right. And you know what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to take time out and we're going to really talk to people in the state fair, what they do, and all of the great little statistics they have. We're going to see people that are showing. We're going to talk about the supervisors. As a matter of fact, we'll start with Randy Coughlin, and he's a professional horseman, but he's also an equine supervisor at the Missouri State Fair. And here's what I loved, Merle. There's a lot of natural talent there and a lot of good corporations, including the USDA. But we're going to sit down with Melody Johns. Now, she's with the National Resource Conservation Services, and she provides a lot of partnerships for their staff in working with farmers, cost share, resource concerns. And I don't know if you know this, but there are 40 major conservation practices in the state of Missouri.
I did not know that, but I do now. Thanks, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome. So,
hey, you know what? We're also going to hear from Seth Phillips of Phillips Farm in Dover, Missouri. Seth runs a respected family operation and brings years of hands-on experience in raising quality cattle. In our Better Cattle segment, he'll be sharing his expertise on cow-calf operations. And Ed, you know, you always want to get outside the box. Well, our last segment is going to be one you want to stick around for. Ed is trying to promote our Better Rabbit segment.
We have a Better Rabbit segment. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, mark it down. Put it in the record books. Never say never.
Right.
But to close out the show, we're going to hear from David Rugen, the rabbit superintendent here at the Missouri State Fair. He's giving us this scoop on rabbit competitions, what to watch for, what makes them so special. You might even hop away from this segment with a whole new appreciation for these furry little athletes.
Hey, you guys, I put on this interview, and I want to tell you, nobody knows more about rabbits than this guy, David Rugen, over there, our supervisor at the Missouri State Fair. I thought it was fun interview to go have, and I'm going to go get me a couple of rabbits, and I know that Susie, your better half, is going to do the exact same thing.
Please don't mention it. We've got enough critters already.
Okay, here we go. We're going to continue on with our Better Cattle Market segment with Mark Oppold. Hey, Mark, we got to throw it to you because this is going to be one heck of a show.
Well, thanks, Ed. Another great program lined up here. I need to start my report this week wishing my wife, Kathy, a happy anniversary. We celebrated it on Monday. It was a hot day like it was 52 years ago when a couple of Iowa farm kids said, "I do." In fact, we had our reception at the Oppold Farm that year. Dad smoked a hog, and our well house was a perfect bar that day. So, again, a happy anniversary and a lot of August weddings, I think. A lot of folks that I talked to that on the farm, busy, and they before school starts, a lot of weddings took place in August. So ours, 52 years ago this past Monday. Another item I want to talk to, my wife Kathy and I spent a day at the Iowa State Fair last week. And some, I got to thinking and started doing a little research. While some fairs are struggling, I understand, the Iowa State Fair is not one of them. And we've had the Iowa State Fair, Missouri State Fair, Indiana, Illinois, all wrapped up this past weekend. A couple of others for Nebraska, Minnesota for two that are starting later this week. Iowa is my home state, as you know, Ed, and I have a lot of memories attending the fair as a 4-H'er and then covering it as a young farm broadcaster. At a record 1.2 million people attend that fair last year. I don't have the number yet this year, but they're talking about a new record for Des Moines and the Iowa State Fair. And some other fairs, though, are struggling. Officials point to aging buildings, no budget. You hear that a lot, and no budget to fix or replace them. Other states say it's just hard to find volunteers. There's been a definite demographic shift. I guess you look back in the 1800s, those settlers used the fair as an educational tool. They're new farmers in a new land, far from home. It was also a social centerpiece, if you will. Well, now move forward here to 2025. It's estimated that 75% of those attending a state fair don't even come from a farm. And fairs have adapted, of course, more entertainment. Most notable, at least at the Iowa State Fair, they're known for their food. Where else can you get a deep-fried Snicker or a deep-fried Twinkie or a barbecue pork on a stick? But so it was, a great time. And hopefully your state fair, wherever you reside, is still going strong. The other thing I wanted to mention here, Ed, Farm Progress Show starts next week. This is in Decatur, Illinois. And a lot of folks are watching these farm shows here. Attendance at major farm shows historically not connected to the overall ag economy. They'll have a great, great crowd at Decatur, Illinois. But how much business is done, yet another matter. Ag economists say that companies that deal with used equipment and those that handle smaller, short-line equipment will fare better with producers in their current economic position. Other major farm shows are watching closely the results of going on in Decatur next week. Husker Harvest Days in Nebraska, Sunbelt Ag Expo coming up in Georgia, and of course, lots and lots of others. So, again, it's fair season, and back to the universities, too. Next week, I believe Iowa State, Kansas State, Missouri, Nebraska, I believe all the students start their fall classes here next week. So our land-grant universities up and running, and we hear attendance is some of the best ever here for these for the ag colleges and their ag courses. Well, then looking here, wrapping up here for better cattle, December live cattle last week, they're low around 225.90. Looks to be a key pivot point here. Now, as of late last week, we weren't too worried about that. And looks like on the other side, watching 236.75 resistance on the upside. October, they could get back to near that 240 level without much problem, according to people that we visit with. October feeder cattle, 352, not out of the question, again, according to some of the analysts that we visit with. First things first here, following through with how we closed and started this week in those cattle and feeder cattle futures. Five area weekly average last week, 242 in the cash side. That was up from about 240 the week before, so a couple dollars higher in that cash market, and look to keep that steady strong here this week as well. That's going to do it for us. A little long here today, but hopefully everyone enjoying the summer and getting back to school. As always, we wish everyone a profitable week ahead.
Hey, thank you, Mark, and I appreciate everything you're doing with Better Cattle. Hey, Merle, let's move over to our Better Horses Tip of the Week.
We're going to take an in-depth look into herd behavior and herd dynamics. So there's a hierarchy in a herd, and that means somebody's the leader and the others are below them. So they kind of have classes. And horses are always testing this pecking order. Oftentimes, the leader will be an older mare because she has a lot of experience. She knows what to react to and what to ignore. And she'll know how far to flee in order to stay safe. But it won't always be a mare. Sometimes it'll just be the horse that has the most experience. So the leader of a herd is called the alpha. Now, in the wild, oftentimes you would see a mare is going to lead the herd to better grass, and the stallion kind of acts as the muscle, and he backs up what the mare says. So if there's some stragglers, that stallion will pin his ears, and then he'll run and bite that other horse and get them to move up. So what makes an alpha? So basically, it has to come down to more than just seniority and experience, right? It's whatever horse controls the feet. So there are two ways horses control the feet. You can either cause movement or restrict movement. So for example, one way we do this with horses is by causing them to circle or lunge. That's a way we cause horses to move their feet. An example of the opposite of inhibiting movement would be things like tying them up and things like that, or asking them to stay ground tied. That's another example. But horses play these same herd games with us. They're constantly seeing if you are showing up as the leader today. So it's very important that we don't back away from our horse, that we stand our ground. If our horse is crowding our space, which means they're within an arm length distance of us, then we need to be the leader and back our horse out of our space or do jumping jacks, whatever we need to do to stay safe and keep that horse out of our space.
And that has been our Better Horses Tip of the Week. All right, Merle, let's get ready for the Missouri State Fair coverage right here on Better Horses. I'm your host, Ed Adams.
And I'm Merle Arbo.
And we'll be right back right after these messages.
Get quality you can stand on. Hoof Grip is the proprietary formula that provides shock absorption for your animals with no ice buildup, slipping, cracking, or sogginess, making it the safest, most comfortable, and maintenance-free flooring on the market. Hoof Grip installs quickly and easily over existing surfaces, is easy to clean, and withstands extreme heat or cold. From vet offices to barns, wash racks to trailers and more, visit hoofgrip.com to find a dealer in your area today.
Hey, it's Matt at Heritage Tractor. This 4th of July, declare your freedom from interest. For a limited time, get 0% interest for 84 months on select John Deere tractor packages, complete with all the attachments you need to get the job done. Whether you're upgrading or buying your first, now's the time to make it happen. Come see us at any Heritage Tractor location or visit heritagetractor.com. Claim your freedom from interest today. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Offer ends July 14th, 2025.
Legendary products, extraordinary service. That's our heritage.
Routine dental examination and treatments are essential for high-quality horse care. To prevent potential problems, a horse's mouth should be examined at least once a year. I'm Dr. Chris Blevins, Equine Field Service Veterinarian at Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. We can examine the mouth and provide a treatment plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
Established in 1956, the Pinto Horse Association of America was formed to welcome all types of equines and maintain their show records and pedigrees. PTHA currently has over 88,000 members with 157,000 registered Pintos. There are currently three separate registries: the Color Registry, the Solid Registry, and the Long Ear Registry. We welcome all levels of competition within a family-friendly environment. Become a member, register, and add value to your horse. For more information, check out the website PintoWorld.com.
It's time to go with United Mosquito and Fly Control's premier fly system for fly control in your barn, providing relief for horses from the stress of fighting flies, and also makes a barn more pleasant for everyone in the barn. Easy, effective, and safe. With United Mosquito and Fly Control, we provide a full service. You as the barn owner don't have to do anything. We go everywhere and take care of everything with our friendly, fast service. Call today at 913-558-3814 or email Paul at UnitedMosquito.com.
And welcome back to Better Horses Radio. We're in Sedalia, Missouri at the Missouri State Fair, and we are watching with utmost excitement about the draft horses that are coming on board and getting unloaded. And with me today, I have the supervisor of the equine department within the Missouri State Fair, Randy Coughlin. Randy, thank you for joining Better Horses.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay, so we got everybody unloading. Talk to me as facilities and logistics goes. What are one of the biggest concerns you have when you're pulling in these type of draft horses? You got close to 10 teams coming in.
Yes, sir, we got 10 six-horse hitches coming. Everybody has big rigs, semis. It's hot, so we're trying to get them off in line and get off the trailers as quick as we can and get them horses back in the barn. And that's the big thing right now, the heat. Some of them have been in the trailers 14 hours and they're needing to get out and get in the stalls and stretch and get a drink.
And moving pretty quickly. You know, these horses are really magnificent animals to watch. And if you haven't seen them, these are one of the best things to come out into a state fair and view. So I got to tell you, the amount of care and custody that these horses take takes a lot of time, energy, and money. So these people coming in is all the way from Colorado and other states. What's the first thing they're concerned about when they're unloading the horses?
Getting them off the trailers and getting them into the stalls where they can lay down and rest their legs if they want to, get them a drink, and just rest. When they're sitting there for 14 hours, they're needing to get off and take that break.
One of the preventions you have with making sure they don't colic or anything, what are some of the key tips you can give anybody if they're traveling that amount of time, especially these big animals? They're used to consuming a lot of hay. What's one of the things they're concerned about as a draft horse owner?
When they get off the trailer, they could have all the hay they wanted, but they need to kind of limit their water. Just don't give them all they want to drink. You know, they're hot, they'll suck down and could colic, and they'll give them a drink, and then ease it back into them on full water.
As they come into the Missouri State Fair, what's the competition like, and what's going to be what's their goal when they're coming here?
Their goal's to win the six-horse hitches here. That's a big deal. We've got 10 hitches. We've got them from all over the country, some of the best in the country, and that's what they're coming here for, is to win that six-horse hitch. We've got three nights of it, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, all start at 5 o'clock, and the stands will be packed.
It is. It's definitely a fan favorite. And we're talking multiple breeds in the draft horses. Can you tell us who's represented here?
Oh, we've got Perchins, Clydesdales, Belgiums. So we got three breeds for sure. Yeah.
As much as you've watched these hitch teams compete, it's not a given on who's going to win. It's kind of like football. It's like any given Sunday. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. It's anybody's game to win, even though we're showing three nights in a row. The same team's not going to win all three nights. You know, you may have one horse that don't work the best. So it's each night's a totally brand new night, and there's not likely for the winner to win more than one round.
Right. So, and you're talking about these teams that are actually looking at these draft horses. They've been doing it for a while. You're looking at multiple generations of families that have done this. Talk to me as far as the economics go. This is not a very inexpensive venture, is it?
Oh, no, it's not inexpensive at all. You got to have at least one, maybe two semi. You got to have another big cargo trailer to haul your horse or your harness, all your supplies. It's a lot of money invested these guys have. Horses are extremely high. Harness, everything. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in them.
You know, and that's a good point. We were just talking about the auctions. They're talking these draft horses can go up to as $100,000 just in a draft sale.
Yes, sir. There was a horse a couple years ago that a certain team stopped and bought. They weren't winning. They bought a new lead horse. They paid $180,000 for him, and they went to winning from then on the rest of the season. So one horse can make a huge difference.
You know, $180,000 for a horse, that isn't nothing. We can afford that. So,
yeah.
Well, and another thing is these carriages that they're trailering or they're pulling, they are magnificent. And there's a lot of money into that category too, correct?
There's a lot of money there. And they're heavy. You know, everybody thinks they're just a little light wagon. They weigh between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. They need to be for them six horses pulling where they've got a little something to pull. But they go to the body shops. I mean, they're spick, span, high polished. You wouldn't find a car detailed any better than what they are.
You know, when you're talking about hauling them in here at the Missouri State Fair, they're not just hauling six horses. They have backup teams on top of that. Is that normal?
Yes, they bring extra horses with them. If they have one that's not working right or don't feel good, they'll swap it out and put another one in there. So they bring more than the six. They bring probably 8, 9 where they've got extras if need to be.
You know, I want our listeners to understand that when these semis start rolling in, the pressure you have
from your position is, you know, I can feel it, the stress coming in when the semis are rolling in. What is it like? What's the first thing you do as your technique is calming down the owners, calming them down? What are the first things they're looking to do? And how do you really mitigate that logistics of getting them off the trailer?
It's tough. You know, we're out here this morning. We're four lanes front and back of the barn, double line semis. And they're wanting off, and it's hot. You're trying to get them off. Their horses at least off as fast as you can and get them into the barn and work with them. You know, they've traveled a long ways, and it's hot. They get a little disturbed. So the best I can do is give them a hand and get them in the barn as quick as possible.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking to the equine supervisor at the Missouri State Fair here in Sedalia, Missouri, Randy Coughlin. And Randy, you've been doing this for a while, but hey, let's let everybody know you're a horseman and a professional trainer yourself. So what do you do off hours when you're not doing this?
Off hours, we run a cattle herd and got quite a few cattle. We can raise quarter horses. We rodeo. I'm involved with the National High School Rodeo Association, so I spend a lot of time with that. So yeah, we're busy all the time. I'm going home. I'll be home a week. I'm gone again all summer long. About a week's the longest I've been home at one time.
Appreciate it. Well, Randy, I want to thank you again for taking time out to talk to all our listeners here at Better Horses. And we wish you all the best. Looking forward to the show. And once again, we'd like to have you come back and just tell us how things are progressing.
That'll be great. Just let me know.
All right, everybody. We got more Better Horses coming your way. Stay with us. You're with the Missouri State Fair here in Sedalia, Missouri. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. Boom, 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 it's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. Dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
And as we continue our coverage here at the Missouri Fair in Sedalia, Missouri, I am pleased and actually honored to have one somebody from the USDA, from the Natural Resource Conservation Service, Melody Johns. And she's been with the USDA for quite some time. And she's with the partnership staff. And she is basically going to give us an intro of what the USDA does here and all the changes that are going on. Melody, welcome to Better Horses.
Oh, great. Thank you. I appreciate the interview. Well, what we have is we have a lot of cost shares and grant programs out there for landowners. So it's not just for your typical row crops either. But whenever you have like livestock, we deal a lot with manure management and we deal with resource concerns out in nature. So a lot of it's watershed management as well. I know like the last few years up until last year, we were in a D3 drought in this area. So a lot of our cattlemen relied on some of that emergency relief from FSA, which is Farm Service Agency, and from NRCS, which is Natural Resource and Conservation Service. Okay, so with the Farm Service Agency, a lot of times people think of them purely for farm loans, but they also are control of the farm numbers that get issued out. It's a really easy form to fill out. It's only one page, bringing your identification to your county office and proof that you paid the taxes the last few years on your property. But what that farm number does, it gives us visibility on the NRCS side of your land exactly, so we can map it out. And if you have certain concerns, whether it's watershed management or having, you know, basically a water source that's reliable, NRCS will then have visibility and you can apply for a cost share. Our main program is called EQIP, and that's the Environmental Quality Improvement Program. And we do a lot of cost shares with, you know, basically livestock owners, farmers, and urban farmers as well.
Perfect. Now let's talk about some of the programs that are almost like boutique farming. We talked about rural farming and what that would look like. Let's talk about urban farming and what kind of impact does that have in around the country?
Well, urban farming is really getting more popular and more built up because as we run out of land, we still have more mouths to feed. So a lot of the urban farming that we do is growing up, not outward. And that's in the form of container farms or in hydroponics inside abandoned warehouses. And it's really neat what they could do. The largest 51-foot container can actually grow about 5 acres of crops in on less than 10 gallons of water a week. So, and they're not competing for nutrients in the soil either. So it all grows nice and even.
That's excellent. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Melody Johns here at the USDA in Kansas City at the Missouri State Fair and a bunch of programs that a lot of farmers don't know about. That's something that you like to do and try to create all the information as much as they can. What are some of the examples that they can take advantage of?
Well, we have about 40 major conservation practices in Missouri, and the land varies. Like in the South, a lot of people don't realize in the Boot Heel that we grow cotton and rice down there, as opposed to up north. It's almost like a completely different state. But we do a lot of work with pollinators. So if there's a certain area that you cannot get anything worth growing there, we have a pollinator program for the wildlife in the area, and with the native flowers and native forage, it also provides bed down for wild animals, and it brings back quail to a lot of the communities that haven't seen it in a few decades.
One of the things that I did want to point out at the USDA is we talk about your department here. USDA has done a remarkably good job at putting out a lot of the people that was primarily in Washington, and you're actually putting it out in the field more in the Midwest. What's the theory behind that?
Well, we basically need to have more face-to-face service with our customers. And basically the Midwest, I mean, we're pretty much where it's at for agriculture. And so by getting leadership out here, it gives them more opportunity to discuss the needs of our current clientele and also with the beginning farmers as well. Sometimes it's hard to get through the big slow wheel of government out in D.C. So by bringing leadership around the country back to like where all the farms basically are at, well, I think it's a win-win situation.
I think so, too. First of all, I want to thank you, Melody, for joining us at the USDA, and appreciate you coming on board. We wish you all the luck in the world, and thank you for joining Better Horses.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been an honor. Thank you.
All right, everyone, stay with us as we're going to have more coverage here at the Missouri State Fair in Sedalia, Missouri, right after these messages. And continuing our coverage with the Missouri State Fair, we have Seth Phillips from Dover, Missouri, and he's going to give us our Better Cattle segment as we continue looking at the Missouri State Fair and all the cattle that's coming in. Seth, welcome to Better Horses.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, Seth, for all our listeners out there that are not in the cattle industry, can you talk to me about the breed you're showing and what is the process coming to a state fair and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the process of coming to the state fair is a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. It's a family effort. It's not just me. It's not just my wife, but the kids definitely have a big part of everything that we do. As far as picking out the babies out in the pasture or going to an auction and buying one from a sale, but after we get them home or after we get them in the barn, you got to break the calf. You got to teach them to lead. You got to get them on the right feeds to make them look how you want them to look and kind of get them moving how you want them to move. Washing them, blowing them, keeping them clean, keeping them out of the weather, whether that's under the fans or out of the snow. It's a big deal it's a long process. It's not just to go out there one time and think you're going to get it done. It's a daily thing.
You know, I'm watching you guys take these cattle, and you are cleaning them and you are feeding them, but it is a ton of work just to at the show, and you just walk through the prep work. But at the show, walk through the process. What do your kids have to know when they're showing them, and what are the key issues that you got to go through?
So I mean, just as far as showing up to the show, it takes us about 3 or 4 hours just to get set up, you know, get all our stalls set up and get everything, you know, situated the way that we're going to be here for, you know, a good 4 days. You know, now going into the next set too, since my daughter, she got voted to, or not, you know, got picked to go to the next portion, which is the Show Me Shootout. So we're going to be here for another 3 days that we weren't expecting. So, which is fine, which is great, but We were not prepared for that, but we had we're going to have fun with it. But getting the kids up in the mornings, you know, we got up at 3 o'clock this morning for the show. We were here. We were washed by 4:30, and we were feeding them by 5:30 in the morning. And then, you know, getting up once we get them fed, get them laid down, let them rest for a little bit, and get them back up, get them fit. And then once we get them fit, we got to make it up to the show ring. Hopefully it's not raining on Saturday, but today we had a nice, beautiful day to go up there in the nice, beautiful sunshine. And then once we get in the show ring, you know, you got to get that animal calmed down. You got to make sure that your kid's calmed down, because the animal feels that tension that your kid gets. And so, you know, you got to make sure both the animal and your child are calm and cool, collected, ready to go. Once you get out in that show ring, you just got to hope stars align and, you know, make sure that the kid knows what to do, how to get the proper footwork, you know, make sure you get the back down, you know, just, it's just the whole process of, you know, making sure that the kid knows what to do as soon as they walk in that ring, whether it's lining up straight ahead or, you know, once they do the circle around and come back up and line up broadside. You know, it's a whole process that the kid has to learn. And, you know, my daughter's been doing it for 5 years now. My son, this is his second year, so he's still in that learning phase. He still doesn't know everything. And my daughter doesn't know everything either. She's still learning. But yeah, it's definitely, they come out of the ring, hey, here's some pointers, fix it next time. So it's a long process. So
we're talking to cattle rancher Seth Phillips from Dover, Missouri, talking about what it's like to show cattle at the Missouri State Fair and what are the judges looking for. And you mentioned your breed, you're in the Angus breed. And what is the what's the key features that you think every judge is looking for when they're looking at these cattle?
Well, we've been to a lot of cattle shows, and every judge is different. One show you'll go in and you'll get first place. The next show you go in and you're going to get last place. You just never know. You know, some judges like that big front end, like the big broadside going down with a, you know, an easy gentle as you transition back to the hind legs. And other judges like a little bit thinner profile. It's all just kind of whatever that judge is going to look for that day, and you don't know till you show up. But you got to show up, you got to show up to every show, whether you're going to win, whether you're going to lose. And you got to have that mindset of we're going to win today. And that's what we did today. We didn't expect to win today, but we did. So every judge is looking for something just a little bit different. Whether it's that long neck to where they can stretch it out, or the long body to where they can stretch it out, or that deep belly, that deep rib, that they can really fill out, and really, you know, that some of them like the good udder structure once you get into the higher age classes. Some of them look for just all the different aspects of it and put it together. So it's you just never know.
You know, that's a good point. So Seth, can you talk to us, from those who are not in the cattle industry, what's the economic benefit of showing these cattle, and what from a farm perspective, what are the biggest benefits?
So, I mean, there's a couple different sides to it. Me myself, I'm in the beef side. So I'm a cow calf producer, and I raise them from the very beginning till the end. I also I keep fats back for butchering. I got a couple of places where I distribute our product at, whether it's a restaurant or at a highway frontage store. And then there's another aspect of my cousin, he's into the show calf side, so he actually raises the calves for showing. But in the end, ultimately, it always ends back up to the product, the consumer. You know, we're marketing these calves to be a product for the American people, because that's what we are. We are the genuine American product. You can't have a better product than something raised by, you know, your local producer. That local producer will give you the best product that you can have. It's a lot better than going to a chain store and buying something that everybody knows that you go to that local person, you know, you're going to get the same quality every time that you go back to him.
One of the benefits of being at the Missouri State Fair, and you said it well, going to your local producer. We're talking to Seth Phillips in Dover, Missouri. Seth, we wish you all the best. I want to thank you for taking time out on this very hot day. Talk to us all about the cattle industry, and we wish you all the best.
I appreciate your time.
All right. We'll be back with more Better Horses Radio right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dylan Luter, a specialist in equine performance medicine at the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. Our new service focuses on lameness diagnosis, advanced imaging, physical therapy, and regenerative medicine for horses with injuries preventing them from performing at their best. We can treat a variety of conditions and design a customized rehabilitation plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
Hey, it's Matt at Heritage Tractor. This 4th of July, declare your freedom from interest. For a limited time, get 0% interest for 84 months on select John Deere tractor packages, complete with all the attachments you need to get the job done. Whether you're upgrading or buying your first, now's the time to make it happen. Come see us at any Heritage Tractor location or visit heritagetractor.com. Claim your freedom from interest today. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Offer ends July 14th, 2025.
Legendary products, extraordinary service. That's our heritage.
Established in 1956, the Pinto Horse Association of America was formed to welcome all types of equines and maintain their show records and pedigrees. PTHA currently has over 88,000 members with 157,000 registered Pintos. There are currently three separate registries: the Color Registry, the Solid Registry, and the Long Ear Registry. We welcome all levels of competition within a family-friendly environment. Become a member, register, and add value to your horse. For more information, check out the website PintoWorld.com.
Get quality you can stand on. Hoof Grip is the proprietary formula that provides shock absorption for your animals with no ice buildup, slipping, cracking, or sogginess, making it the safest, most comfortable, and maintenance-free flooring on the market. Hoof Grip installs quickly and easily over existing surfaces, is easy to clean, and withstands extreme heat or cold. From vet offices to barns, wash racks to trailers and more, visit hoofgrip.com to find a dealer in your area today.
We're here for the hardworking, the resilient. We're for the people who measure their days by what needs to get done, not by hours. Where kids learn responsibility at a young age and generations work side by side. Where work doesn't pause for holidays or bad weather. It just gets harder. Where value and hard work means more than the clothes you wear. We're Kleinschmidt's Western Store, Higginsville, Missouri.
It's time to go with United Mosquito and Fly Control's premier fly system for fly control in your barn, providing relief for horses from the stress of fighting flies, and also makes a barn more pleasant for everyone in the barn. Easy, effective, and safe. With United Mosquito and Fly Control, we provide a full service. You as the barn owner don't have to do anything. We go everywhere and take care of everything with our friendly fast service. Call today at 913-558-3814 or email Paul at unitedmosquito.com.
And continuing our coverage at the Missouri State Fair here in Sedalia, Missouri, I am excited to have David Rugen, who's the rabbit superintendent here at the Missouri State Fair. And we talked about better cattle, we talked about better horses, but now we get to talk about better rabbits. David, thank you for joining Better Horses.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now you'll have to educate all of us on the rabbit industry, how many rabbits are here, what's the showing, and exactly what's the goal here.
Okay. There's roughly 55 recognized breeds of rabbits by the American Rabbit Breeder Association. At this fair, I think we have around 33 breeds. Within some breeds, there's different colors. But there's a, as far as judges are concerned, they're not judged on how they look. They're judged, there's a book of standards. Some rabbits are judged on markings out of 100 point possible. Some of them are judged on body type. It depends on the breed. Some are, the fur is worth more points out of 100. So every judge, it's a licensed judge, has to pass a test and get qualified. They judge these rabbits based on that book of standards. And every 5 years, a breed can change their standard a little bit, but they got to go before the board in order to do that. And so these kids, this is their project. Every project's important, whether no matter what it is. And they just love showing their rabbits and competing against each other. You know, and they just, it's great. And, you know, the judges I had this year said the quality at the state fair was just tremendous. You know, they were, I had judges from Indiana, Tennessee, in Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and they were really pleased with the quality of animals this year.
This is amazing. We're sitting at the poultry and rabbit barn here at the Missouri State Fair. So let's break it down on what the judges are looking for. You mentioned a lot of breeds with the rabbits.
Right.
So what is it? You know, we know about conformation on horses. We know about basically looking at everything from a cattle perspective. What are you looking for in the breeds of the rabbits?
Well, again, for body type, you want them to come to a rise right behind the head, kind of like a half a basketball, a lot of them. You want a wide loin because that's where the meat is. You know, and then you want them full down to the table. You want the high point to be nice and high. Some of them are judged on first, some of them, the first not worth so many points. Again, it depends on the breed and the variety of rabbit on what the judge is. But there's that book of standards that every breed is judged against its own standard, not against each other, but how close is that breed to its standard compared to how close the other one is to their standard. That what they do, they'll put them on the table like senior bucks. They'll pick the best senior buck. Then they'll go to the senior does and best senior each. And then if meat rabbits, we have what they call six class. They'll have an intermediate class. They'll pick the best intermediate buck, the best intermediate doe, then the best junior buck and best junior doe. Then out of those six, they'll pick the best of breed and the best opposite sex of breed. In other words, if a buck wins best of breed, they'll pick the best doe for best opposite sex. All the best of breeds go up for best in show. You know, you have to win a best of breed to go up for best in show. You know, we have youth exhibit, we have a youth show as well, but then we have the adult show on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we have the 4-H FFA show. I think this year there's around 600 4-H rabbits and roughly close to 250 to 300 FFA rabbits this year.
That is amazing. If you're just joining us, we're talking to David Rugen. He is the rabbit superintendent here at the Missouri State Fair. David, one of the things I noticed coming here for 3 years is exponentially this industry is really growing. I've seen it, and can you comment on exactly what kind of growth you're looking at here in the rabbit industry?
Sure. I mean, like I said, this year we have a lot of brand new exhibitors. I think total we had around 77 4-H exhibitors and 33 FFA exhibitors. In our meat keeping class for the civil champions, like you have the champion steer or the champion hog, this year we had, I think, roughly 48 4-H entries in that class and 33 FFA entries. Once they pick the best meat pin for the 4-H and reserve and the 4-H and the FFA, then they put them together to pick the best overall. You know, and what a meat pin is, it's a difficult thing. It's three rabbits that are identical in body type as can be, but on a meat rabbit, the width of loin, you want that, you start at the back of the rabbit, is worth more points out of 100 than the front of the rabbit. You want that, you want a nice firm flesh, nice wide loin, because that's where your most of your good meat is and stuff like that. Just like it would be on a hog or something like that, you want good loin. But yeah, we've got, like I said, more new exhibitors, and it's just amazing to see new faces. You know, and they just love it. They come up here, they sit around, they get their rabbits out so people that come to the fair can pet their rabbits, ask questions. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. The best thing is to do is get it from the people that actually raise these animals.
You know, that's a very good point. Let's drill that down a little bit to all our listening audience out there. We know that rabbits are used for meat also, but they're also used for experimental, and some of the things they're using, the type of rabbits they use for just experimental research information.
Yes, most of your labs and stuff, they either use like a white New Zealand because they want the pink eyes and they want the white fur. And so that's more important. You know, and like I tell kids, you need to decide what you're going to do with that animal because you can't keep them all. No, you know, it takes 31 days to have babies. You know, then normally you wean them. I wean mine later than normal. A lot of people wean at 6 weeks. I go longer. I want to get that mother's milk and develop fully and stuff like that. But 31 days to have babies, and you know, it doesn't take long. If the mother, they don't have babies, you can breed them right back again and stuff like that. But it's so nice to see the excitement on these kids' faces. Some of them have showed at county fairs, but this is their first time showing it in an ARBA licensed fair with a licensed judge. And they get really great comments and stuff. The judges that I pick, I'm very particular who I get, and they take the time to explain these things to the kids.
Okay, a two-part question. One, if we wanted to get started in rabbits and they know nothing about how to get going, what's the first thing you recommend?
My recommendation, we have a state association, State Rabbit Association. We have a website out there, and you go out there and go out there. There's some breeders listed, but you can contact any one of us members, and you tell us what you're looking for, what you think you want to do. We'll recommend some breeders that have quality animals. Also, what ends up happening, if you ever go to a rabbit show, you see another breed. So a lot of kids have multiple breeds because they find out they like something else too. It's a learning curve. Again, my kids never did sports, but they learned to be good winners and losers showing rabbits. It's a big family thing, and it's just, you sit down and you just have fun. But again, it's a judge's opinion on that day, because again, they got that book of standards, so they're looking at certain things on that animal. For instance, a Dutch rabbit has markings. Their points are worth more in markings than like a California or New Zealand. New Zealand has no markings, but they're judged on body type. They got to come in and rise right up behind the head, have a nice wide loin, a nice curvature of the body and stuff.
You know, that's pretty exciting all the way through. So too, if I wanted to start showing, second part of the question, and to get started in showing, is there someone you recommend, and this is nationwide, how do you get started on the showing side?
If you go to the American Rabbit Breeders Association, there's a national site. They have a list of all the national clubs, and you can go out there and read, or you go to the national club sites and find out what that breed, things about that breed, find out what the standard is. The standard, it changes every 5 years, or has can change every 5 years, but they got to go before our standards committee to change something on a breed. If they want, like, for instance, a few years ago, they raised the weight on meat pens. Used to be minimum of 3 pounds per rabbit to a maximum of 5 pounds per rabbit. Now it's minimum 3.5 pounds per rabbit and maximum 5.5 pounds. But again, that's got to be approved by our national committee.
And we're talking to David Rugen. We're talking about better rabbits here at the Missouri State Fair. And last question I want to talk to you, biosecurity. We talk about it with horses, cattle. What kind of biosecurity that we need to worry about in the rabbit industry?
Well, the main thing you want to do when you buy a rabbit from anybody, I always say there's some things you need to check. First, you want to make sure the top teeth are over top of the bottom teeth. You don't want the top teeth inside. That's called wolf teeth. It's hereditary. They can't eat good. The second thing you want to do is make sure there's no nasal discharge. Sometimes they'll get it maybe at a show if there's pine shavings around or something like that. But you want to make sure if their paws or front paws are matted, that means they maybe have some issues, and you want to keep that completely out of your barn. And you want to make sure they have no sore hocks. Again, everybody can tell you that's a breeder. If you buy a rabbit from somebody, you want to isolate it away from your other stock for a couple weeks just to make sure no issues crop up. You know, and also rabbits are considered livestock. The feed's sales tax exempt, and you'll find out once you get a feed, you don't want to keep mixing feed. Rabbits are very particular about what they eat. I've talked to feed companies that we use, and they know if they can't substitute one item for another item when they make that feed, because the flavor of that feed, a rabbit may go off feed. So if you buy a rabbit from somebody, they should give you a sampling of feed so you can eventually mix it in with your feed to keep the rabbit on feed.
Perfect. But David, I want to thank you for joining us, and also thank you for just getting us a heartfelt understanding of what the rabbit industry is all about. I appreciate you coming out. We wish you all the luck. And if people wanted to get a hold of you or just get information about rabbits, who should they contact?
Well, my information is out there on the State Fair website. My email address is rugdav@socket.net. But my telephone number is out there. I can give it now if you want me to, but my telephone number is out on the website. I'm open to questions all the time. I tell people I'd rather answer questions than make the same mistakes that we did when we first got into rabbits. My boys were probably 9 years old when they first got started, and the youngest one, he's 41 now, and he's still involved in rabbits.
All right, everyone. We'll have David's phone number on the show notes. We're talking to David Rugen here at the Rabbit Superintendent at the Missouri State Fair in Sedalia, Missouri. David, thank you for joining us.
You know, Merle, I can tell you I'm a lot smarter about rabbits than I ever have been.
Same, Ed. Same. I did not know what I did not know.
You know, and that goes back to the Missouri State Fair. You know, and that's why I encourage everybody to go to every state fair, whether you're in Oklahoma, whether you're in Arkansas. Minnesota has a great one. Everybody's Iowa State Fair is well known. But in Missouri, you know, and I didn't realize until I got out of the state fair that the climate is so well suited for growing grapes, apples, black walnuts, pecans, and a variety of vegetables. I will tell you also, Merle, that I also got into learning about bees.
Oh, nice. I mean, yeah. That's a precarious endeavor, I suppose. But, you know, I love the state fair. The everything from the draft horse show, they had jumping mules, they had little miniature mules. We've got some great segments coming up on Better Horses TV. You're not going to want to miss. Governor Kehoe is telling us about the new Mike Parsons Arena, and that's going to be a great facility for equine and livestock alike. It's really, there's a lot going on at the Missouri State Fair.
You know, that's a great point that we're bringing up a lot of economic impact studies. A lot of states are putting in a lot of dollars looking at the equine industry and what economics that's going to provide. I know OG&E is coming up with a new stadium in Oklahoma City. And as you mentioned, Sedalia, Missouri is bringing up an over $55 million equine facility that's going to be very exciting coming in 2026.
That's going to be a great place, and it's going to be such an investment in Missouri's future at the state fair and youth for a long, long time.
You know, we want to thank all of our people for participating in this episode. Thank you, Randy Coughlin, about horses, Melody Johns over there with the USDA, and Seth Phillips did a great job talking about his cow-calf operation. If you wanted to listen to this show again, please check out our podcast here on Better Horses, wherever you get your podcasts.
And Ed, of course, the Better Horses Fall Edition is going to be coming out soon with lots of great tips for horses and riders.
You know, and that's also letting you know you can subscribe by looking at betterhorses.com. And don't forget, Better Horses TV, airing on RFD, the Cowboy Channel, and streaming on Equus TV.
Ed, I want to give a special thanks to our team behind the scenes, our Better Rabbits radio producer, Brianna Johnson, our television producer, Kelly Creech, and of course, all of our great sponsors.
You know, I think she wants a couple of rabbits. I think after this, she saw the pictures. So I think
we know the guy now.
We know the guy. Okay, well, that wraps it up for this week. Hey, Merle, thank you for joining us. I want you all to be good buckaroos and buckarettes. Mind your mom and dads. Be brave, but don't take any chances out there. Until next time, I'm Ed Adams.
And I'm Merle Arbo.
Happy trails, and always ride for the brand.